To kick off each hour of our pledge drive with prayer, we've asked the Catholic schools in the Archdiocese of Atlanta to lead us in prayer.
We are the Honor Society of Regina Chaley Academy. We're high school students in Atlanta, Georgia. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of thy faithful, and kindle in them the fire of thy love. Send forth thy Spirit, and they shall be created, and thou shalt renew the face of the earth. Let us pray. O God, who didst instruct the hearts of thy faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant us in the same Spirit to be truly wise and to ever rejoice in his consolation, through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you, Regina Chaley School, for that lovely prayer. I'm Dave Savage, the Programming and Production Manager here at AM 1160 The Quest. We are, like you've heard, if you've been listening, the Quest for Holiness Pledge Drive is underway. And I am informed that we have $7,000 in matching funds again this hour. Okay, but that's only until 6 o'clock. So whatever you want to donate, whether it's one time, whether it's monthly, monthly pledge, that is going to be matched. Okay. As of right now, we have 66 monthly pledges since the beginning of this the pledge drive. We were hoping to get 100. That means we got 34 to go between now and 6 o'clock. Yeah, you're on.
All right. So yep, we have 34 more to go. So
and so that other voice you're hearing, Father Henry Atem from St. Lawrence in Lawrenceville, welcome.
Yes, thank you.
We have you here batting cleanup. Okay. you're gonna bat in all the rumors here and we'll see.
We'll let the Holy Spirit direct and guide us, right?
That's right. So we got the month, and then also our very first donor this hour is gonna get a $20 gift card to Cold Stone Creamery. They got some delicious ice cream.
Absolutely. All you ice cream lovers, mm-hmm. make sure that you are the first to call and make a donation, and we shall definitely send you this gift card to Cold Stone Creamery for you to get some lovely ice cream.
Yes. So, Father, one more time, I'm just going to, they tell me you can't mention the phone number too many times.
Okay.
So here's 470-508-1160 is the number.
Absolutely.
You can do it from the Quest Atlanta app or thequestatlanta.com.
.com.
So, Father, and you brought somebody with you today.
I did bring somebody with me.
Hello.
So for those of you listening in, good evening to all of you and welcome to this final hour on the Quest for Holiness Pledge Drive. This is Father Henry Atem from St. Lawrence up in Lawrenceville. For those of you who might not be aware, St. Lawrence is the most beautiful parish in the Archdiocese of Atlanta. That's a fact, right? So so if you have never had a chance to visit St. Lawrence, we invite you to come visit us as soon as you get a chance. But I'm happy today to be in the studio with a very dear brother and friend of mine, Grant Adams.
Hello.
And Grant, welcome and thank you for joining me in the studio today.
I'm grateful to be here, Father.
Wonderful. Together, Grant and myself, we are going to close this final hour for the Quest for Holiness Pledge Drive. And as Dave said at the beginning, first of all, just a couple of things for you to remember, that we are in need of 34 monthly donors. So if we're able to get 34 more people, that will bring us to 100. And also, we have a matching gift of $7,000. So at this hour, we are hoping to at least be able to raise $7,000 so that we'll be able, at the end of the evening, to have raised $14,000.
Yes.
So that the matching gift will be there to help us to continue to assist the Quest as they help in the mission of evangelization. So I'm going to go ahead and welcome Grant to the studio, and I'm going to ask Grant to share with us a little bit about himself.
Sure.
Tell us a little bit about his story, and then we'll go from there.
Yeah.
All right.
So I think I'm the newest Catholic to be on this this hour or this program so far.
Oh, okay.
I've been a Catholic for I think like 3 months now. Pentecost Sunday, May 28th was when we came in,
right.
And it's been a long, windy road to come home to.
And for
Rome.
Those of you who might not know, Grant came into the church at St. Lawrence up in Lawrenceville.
So that's right. That's right. The most beautiful parish.
The most beautiful parish. Right.
That's right. That's right.
Right.
And it took a while to get there.
Absolutely.
But now we're there.
So, well, share the story with us, Grant.
Sure.
I mean,
Yeah. I grew up in a just loving, godly family. Both my parents still love the Lord a whole lot. And I have to attribute faith in Jesus Christ to my mother and father, April and Tim. So grateful for them and the legacy of faith that they gave my brother and I. We grew up in a Southern Baptist church in Birmingham, Alabama. And it became like apparent to me after this mission trip that I went on when I was 15 years old, that there was some sort of call to ministry on my life. I didn't know exactly what that was going to look like, but I really wanted to serve Jesus and help others come to know him and find him. Didn't know how that was going to work out, but that was kind of the start of this journey. And I wouldn't necessarily say I was anti-Catholic, but I think I would have said, you know, my Catholic friends probably need to be saved. Like, I got to pray for them because they may not have the gospel. They're like trying to make works part of salvation or something like that. And
so they're worshiping Mary
and, you know.
Not anti-Catholic, but more skeptical.
Yeah, definitely. And it wasn't even on the radar during that stage of life. And I ended up going to this small school of ministry in Atlanta where I met my, who would be my wife. And at this school, I ran into a problem where they were teaching some things that I intuitively knew were wrong, that this isn't right. This isn't lining up with scripture. But the problem is they're reading the same scripture that I'm reading. You know?
Okay. So when you say a school of divinity,
a school of ministry.
Ministry.
Yeah.
So what was the intent behind the school? Were you learning to become a minister?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was kind of the purpose of the school. It was unaccredited, but the best way I can describe it is like a ministry trade school where we're going out in downtown Atlanta, doing missions and ministry, serving the poor, helping kids, and leading Bible studies, helping people come to know Jesus in the way that that we could help them know him, you know?
Okay.
And it was good. It was good, practical, hands-on ministry experience in a context that I didn't grow up in. So that's always good. It forces you to depend on the Holy Spirit when you're forced outside of your comfort zone.
So how big would you say the school was?
It was very small. I think in our like graduating class, we maybe had like 20 people or so. Yeah.
Okay.
It's very small, very, very close knit community. But yeah, that was kind of where this epistemic problem is. How do I know what I know is right? Like I intuitively know what these, you know, what my teachers are saying. This isn't quite right. It's not settling well with me. But we're reading the same text, we're reading the same scriptures and coming to drastically different conclusions. So how do I know that I'm right and they're wrong, or that they're not right and I'm wrong in the end?
Right.
You know? And that led me to this I had a mentor at that time who was a very unorthodox priest.
Okay.
and he encouraged me that a stream is most clear closest to the source.
Oh, wow.
And
very profound.
Yeah.
Very profound.
Yeah. And they, at this school, at the same time I was meeting this guy, they offered a very dangerous class on early Christian worship.
Okay.
And dangerous for them because we take the class and we start to recognize the early Christians are worshiping and serving God and loving God and coming to know God in a way that's drastically different from our modern context here, the way that we understand how God works, talking about these sacraments, these means of grace.
Right.
And it became apparent, like, this is sounding very Catholic, some of these fathers were saying.
Yeah. And I think it's interesting you say that, going back to the worship, you know, worship back in the early church, because, you know, especially with this, the title for this pledge drive is The Quest for Holiness, right? And as Catholics, we believe that worship is at the foundation of our experience of holiness. So I find it very interesting that at the time when you were at this school of ministry, taking this class on, you know, on worship back in the early church, that it started planting some seeds in your heart that would eventually, you know, be a very determining factor for your story.
Right.
So, yes.
Yeah.
So let me just jump in here real quick.
Okay.
Because, like you said, Father, this is the Quest for Holiness pledge drive.
Right.
And I just want to remind people that we have that matching funds up there,
$7,000.
We don't want to leave one penny of matching funds unused.
Right.
So make sure that if you call in a $200 pledge, it's now a $400 pledge.
Exactly.
That's the way it works.
Absolutely.
So in any amount, whatever it is, and so make sure you're calling 470 508-1160. You can use a Quest Atlanta app or thequestatlanta.com. And before this list gets too long, we got some pledges coming in. I want to thank some people.
Okay, sure.
Awesome.
Barbara, thank you. Jim and Maura, thank you. Leslie from Carmel, Indiana. Do you know Leslie
from
Carmel, Indiana?
That's my younger brother.
Well, no way.
Thank you, brother, for helping.
That's an honor of you, Father. Also, Maria in Lawrenceville. God bless you, Father Henry and Grant.
Wow.
Heidi in, is that Milto?
Milton, I think.
Oh, yeah, they left the N off. Milton.
Okay, Milton,
yes,
yeah.
God bless you, or Father Henry, Ken, Heidi, and St. Philomena, think you are awesome.
Mm, absolutely.
Holly in Kennesaw, in honor of Allison and Steve from the 4 o'clock hour yesterday.
Okay.
And this is interesting, too, because the 4 o'clock hour yesterday, we had two converts here, John and Trey,
okay,
who were listening to the Quest,
right?
And that was like what converted them,
wow,
like what made them come into the church. And you can listen to these next week. We're going to have all these 24 hours up on our website,
okay,
as like you can listen to as a podcast. Go back and listen to that one though, because it's interesting. John. Just go back and listen to it. I'm not going to tell
you. I like it.
Yeah,
the teaser.
Yeah.
I like it.
We got one more person here. It's either Mariessa or Marisa. That's in honor of Christine Faluco, who was on at 8 o'clock this morning.
Okay.
Marisa's from Nashville. So thank you very much.
Beautiful.
Father?
Cool. Well, yeah. And, you know, we just want to take this opportunity to thank all the donors who will continue to help, not only with the pledge drive, but I think to recognize that your contributions go to really support the work of evangelization, mm-hmm, that has become, you know, the very existence of the Quest radio station. So we are grateful to all of our donors. And again, we are looking for monthly donors. So we are at 66 right now, and we are hoping by the end of this hour to bring it up to 100. So if you're able to make a monthly donation, please do so. It could be any amount, small or big. We do appreciate any effort in helping us out to continue to spread the good news of Jesus Christ. Again, as Dave said earlier, the number you need to call is 470-508-1160. And you could go on the Quest Atlanta app or go to the website, thequestatlanta.com. Okay. So I'm going to continue here with Grant telling his story. And Grant, we kind of left off talking about the class you took on the early church, the worship
introduction
experience.
To early church fathers and their writings.
Right.
And this really planted the seed for a perspective on the sacraments. And growing up in a Baptist church, we called them ordinances, and we only had two, baptism and communion, which we would take maybe quarterly out of the year. And there was a teacher at this school, Gary Scalf, who gave us my first introduction into a sacramental perspective of baptism, which was really interesting. Up to that point, I'd understood baptism to be like the best way I can describe it is the way it was described to me, that baptism is your wedding ring, that you put this on, and it tells the world that you are a follower of Christ. That's like, you know, your wedding band tells everybody else around you that you belong to another. But this sacramental perspective that was introduced to me by this teacher, by the early church fathers, who, you know, really, it's unmistakable when you go read their writings, is that no, it's not a wedding band itself. This is the actual wedding. This
Absolutely.
Is the wedding where you are united with Christ
Absolutely.
And you're brought into the covenant family of God, just like in the Old Testament, where the circumcision of the male boy on the eighth day was bringing them into the covenant family of God.
Absolutely.
It's fulfilled in the New Testament through baptism. And it was the same for the Eucharist, too.
So I think, and that's a very interesting, I guess, analogy that Protestants use versus Catholics, because for us, especially the sacrament of baptism, we consider that as planting a seed, right? You plant a seed, and what all the other sacraments do is that there are different ways in which that seed is nurtured. So it continues to help the person to grow in this relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So I think I like the fact that, you know, the analogy from not simply being a wedding band or wedding ring, but the wedding itself,
right?
In which there is a certain relationship that is established.
Right.
And that relationship defines, you know, the rest of your life.
That's right. So. And the analogy continues that it's not just this one-time moment of saying yes to your spouse. It's Absolutely. A continual work Absolutely. Throughout the rest of right. your life, maintaining this relationship and growing in love and charity towards the other person.
That's right. Saying yes every day
every
of the
day.
Relationship.
Every day.
Absolutely.
And just like, I guess the last bit of this phase, being introduced to the early church fathers, the one that really, really struck me. I've been asked this before by some of my Protestant friends. Is there like one church father that you'd recommend? And St. Ignatius of Antioch was the one that really did me in.
Interesting.
Finding out one that tradition tells us he is a disciple of John the Beloved. So
That's
one
right.
of Jesus' own, he's one degree removed from Jesus himself.
Jesus Christ, absolutely.
And in the second century, the early 100s, he writes a letter to the Smyrnians, and he's talking about these Gnostic heretics who are denying the incarnation. They're
Absolutely.
Denying that Christ truly came in the flesh. And you can actually see St. John talking about this in his first epistle, that those who deny, that's how you can tell that people are followers of Jesus, if they confess that he has come in the flesh.
Right.
But St. Ignatius of Antioch says that these heretics abstain from the Eucharist and from prayer because they do not confess the Eucharist to be the flesh of our Savior Jesus Christ, which suffered for our sins, which the Father of his goodness raised up again. And when I came across this, I was struck because I was in the category of the Gnostics for such a long time.
Yeah. And I think it's interesting you bring up that quote from St. Ignatius of Antioch, because at some point during the hour, Grant, I'm going to ask you to get a little bit into the
Sure.
relationship that you've been able to develop with the Holy Eucharist since your conversion, or during your conversion, the process of your conversion, and how you continue to strengthen and continue to grow in that relationship. So I would like to take this opportunity once more to remind all of our listeners that we are very grateful. We have one more monthly donor. So we're up to 67 right now. So we're still down 33 people, so we need 33 more monthly donors to help us to continue the work of the quest. We have a matching gift of $7,000, and as Dave said there at the beginning, we want to make sure we use every penny of that $7,000. So in order for us to do that, we need you to make your pledges so that we could match that amount. The number again for you to call in is 470-508-1160. And you could actually make your donations on the Quest Atlanta app, or you could go to the website, thequestatlanta.com.
And can I just jump in here and thank
yes,
a
sir.
Couple more people?
Absolutely.
Diane of Lawrenceville is grateful for the ministry of Father Henry and welcome Grant into the church.
Oh, beautiful.
Thank
yes.
you, Diane.
Yeah. Diane, thank you.
Also, Elizabeth of Tucker, in honor of Father Henry and Father Henry Atem and Grant.
And Grant.
Yes. And then not only, I guess, is St. Lawrence the most beautiful parish in the archdiocese.
The most generous parish also.
That's right.
The most
yes,
generous.
The
but,
most generous.
But also, you've got a pretty cool KFC council there, don't you?
We do have a wonderful KFC, KFC council.
13052.
Yes. That's right.
In Lawrenceville. And they're dedicating this donation to the parish and Father Henry. They made a very generous donation.
Wow.
We appreciate that.
They are by far the best council of the knights in the archdiocese.
And then, I
love the guys. They're wonderful guys. So.
And I also want to thank Sue from Lawrenceville. May God bless you, Father Henry.
Oh, thank you.
Yes, thank you all very much. It's
all
very
right.
much appreciated. And we've got, 20 or 36 minutes here.
36 so minutes.
Let's,
so,
let's
yeah, so we need to
the
keep
stretch.
The donations coming. So, yeah, we need to try to make sure that we hit that $7,000 so that we're able to get every crumb of that matching gift that we have here available to us.
And so that Father Henry can keep his title of the closer.
The closer.
The closer.
That's
what they call him around here.
That's quite a tall order, but we'll keep working on it. So, but I just want to once more, I guess, on behalf of all of our listeners, to take this opportunity to thank you, Grant, for your willingness to share your story with us. It's always a treat for us, especially for those of us who are Credo Catholics, to have an opportunity to listen to conversion stories of people who have had the chance to examine Catholicism.
Right.
They've had a chance to grow up in other different, you know, denominations or faith traditions, and by their willful decision and by conscious decision, have made the leap into the Catholic faith.
Yeah.
So I just admire the fact that, you know, having gone through the school of ministry and having had the exposure
sure.
that you had to, you know, not only the teachings from the school of ministry, but going back to your parents, I mean, the right. seed of faith that they planted
yes.
in your lives, right?
Yes.
And how that all of it became a part of, you know, an important part of your journey, an indispensable part of your conversion story.
Right.
But why don't you continue to share with us? So you just talked about St. Ignatius of Antioch, and we're going right. to get into that when we talk about the Eucharist. But I'd like to know at this point, I think viewers, our listeners, to be able to understand exactly how you made the transition
yeah.
from, you know, having this experience at the School of Ministry to May 28th, when
right.
you became
right.
a Catholic at St. Lawrence.
And we'll have to fast forward over some details there.
Okay.
But my wife and I, we ended up getting married and graduating from this this school of ministry. We went and served in India in missions and have some dear friends in Northeast India. Then,
how long were you in India?
A total of 7 months. It was
okay.
broken up into a few trips.
Okay.
North of Calcutta, and
okay.
got to go there. Unfortunately, I didn't get to. I wasn't Catholic yet, so I wasn't even thinking about going
to Calcutta.
Right. see St. Teresa of Calcutta's ministry over there. But our friends do incredible work. They still do. And so after that, we moved to Dallas, Texas. I served on staff of this church as a children's and kind of family pastor over there and was still just working through these things. Had a very sacramental perspective on the sacraments. It was being introduced to more Catholic literature and theologians like Dr. Scott Hahn and these different influential people. Of course, I had to read through Rome, Sweet Home. I think every convert today, that's like required reading
right.
if you're going to come into the faith. You gotta read that. Anyway, like I at some point, it just started to become clear, like we're being drawn as a family towards liturgy, towards something that is more, objective rather than subjective. Because in like Protestant evangelical world, essentially, the service, the worship, the teaching, it is up to the whim of a man. It is
All
up
right.
to the whim of a person.
Right.
And I was drawn to this liturgy, the uniformity, the unity that we have in the Catholic Church, where I know every single, not just every Sunday, but every single day, we are all united, even on the same scripture that we're meditating on through
Absolutely.
The lectionary.
Absolutely.
So eventually we moved to back over to Georgia in the Lawrenceville area, and I served on staff at this beautiful church called The Fountain, and love our Fountain family over there. And during our time there, it just became it became inevitable,
right.
this journey to the Catholic faith. And
right.
my wife and I knew that we were coming to a decision-making point. We'd had our daughter, and we knew that, okay, we can't raise her in a Protestant evangelical church
right.
with our convictions.
You know, and Grant, before you get to the very last part of that story, when you came into the church, I think I'm really, I'm happy you talked about, you know, the unity that you saw in the church,
mm-hmm.
especially at the level of, again, of the liturgy, right?
Right.
The fact that there was a sense of unity in Catholicism. Everywhere
right.
in the world you go, the readings are the same. The mass is the same. I mean, there's a unity at the foundation.
Right.
And I think it is that unity that truly helps to enliven our holiness, right? There is a sense of guarantee
yeah.
that as Catholics we have in the fact that we are all united as Catholics around the world. We make
yeah.
up one big family.
Yeah.
And I think that in a sense, because the word holiness, you know, is setting apart,
right?
Right? Is setting something apart. And I think that we feel that we are set apart in our worship,
mm-hmm.
That's what dedicates us. And I think that this pledge drive, the title that we have for this pledge drive, The Quest for Holiness, I think it's only just fitting that we're able to understand and appreciate the fact that as Catholics, the very foundation and the very crux of our holiness is always celebrated in the liturgy,
yes.
you know, especially in the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass.
Yeah.
And I think that unity, how it reflected in your story, I think it's only befitting, you know, for this the pledge drive that we're trying to do today.
That's right? Cool.
Yeah.
That's cool.
So anyway.
Oh,
Yes, Dave.
It helps if I turn my mic on, doesn't it?
Right.
So let's go ahead and remind people that there's matching funds still available, only
Absolutely.
For another half hour.
Right.
Okay, that's over at 6 o'clock. $7,000 on the line. We don't want to leave one penny of that unmatched.
Right.
So make sure that whatever you donate is going to be doubled. And
right.
we're looking for those monthly donors as well. We have 67 currently,
right.
so we need another 33 if we're going to make our goal of 100 for this entire pledge drive.
Absolutely.
So why don't we take a little break here?
Absolutely.
And we'll be right back with the pledge, the Quest for Holiness pledge drive here on the Quest.
You're listening to the Quest for Holiness Fall Pledge Drive on AM 1160, The Quest. If you're moved to make a pledge, please call 470-508-1160. That's 470-508-1160. Or you can go to our app or go to thequestatlanta.com. Remember, The Quest is 100% listener supported, and we rely on donations and pledges from people like you to stay on the air. We'll be back to the Quest for Holiness pledge drive shortly on AM 1160, The Quest. Your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
The Quest presents The Family Room, sponsored by VerseBright.
Brenda Sharman, the issue we're going to talk about today is modesty.
Parents have to start from a very young age, helping their young ladies to understand modesty. Our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, so we need to clothe them appropriately. From a young age, a girl needs to hear these words, and then it needs to be backed up by her father.
Hear this entire conversation on The Family Room podcast at thequestatlanta.com. New episodes Wednesday mornings at 11 on AM 1160, The Quest.
This historic time in the pro-life movement makes it critical to support women and families now more than ever before. Pregnancy Aid Clinic, a Catholic pregnancy resource center in Metro Atlanta, offers that support. If you need help or can help, go to pregnancyaidclinic.com.
We've all heard it said before.
Catholics aren't pro-life, they're pro-birth, and it ends there. Pro-lifers don't care about mothers or babies after they're born.
But that's simply not true. Help take away that pro-abortion talking point by supporting Walking with Moms in Need, an initiative helping pregnant and parenting women in need. Your parish is called to help these moms in need. Some parishes in the Archdiocese already have this program in place, providing a variety of assistance to moms, including things like maternity clothing, children's clothing, diapers, and having baby showers for moms who chose life. Your time, talent, and treasure are needed. The United States Conference of Catholic Bishops is asking each parish to create their own Walking with Moms in Need program. If your parish has not started the program, ask how you can help start it. To learn more about Walking with Moms in Need and how you can help, go to walkingwithmoms.com.
The Quest for Holiness Pledge Drive on AM 1160, The Quest. Make your pledge or donation by calling 470-508-1160. That's 470-508-1160. Or you can go to our app or go to thequestatlanta.com. Now back to the Quest for Holiness Pledge Drive on AM 1160, The Quest. Your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
And we still have the 7,000. I kind of just did it in my head. I don't have an exact number, but
okay,
we're close to 3,000 for this hour.
Okay.
So we're looking for another 4,000 if we're going to use up all that
matching gift.
Money. Yes, absolutely. So that's what we're trying to do. Real quick, just want to thank Terry in Lilburn. That's in honor of Jane Robbins, who was on in the 12 o'clock hour today.
Okay.
George from Grayson. Also, Edwin, in honor of Father Henry, my brother.
Oh, that's right. It's my younger brother.
Excellent.
And he's trying to be like me, so. Yes,
well, who wouldn't want to be, you know? Wow. Absolutely. So. And then also, last one, Dennis from Lawrenceville, Father Henry and Grant. Which of you are the better Frisbee player, Dennis says.
You already know, Dennis.
Oh, my goodness.
You already know who it is.
You had to bring that up, didn't you? Okay. I'm taking lessons, though, so I'm going to be Grant someday.
Okay. Winning Ultimate Frisbee, come play with us on Saturdays,
right.
9 noon.
So it's 470-508-1160 is the number to call and
okay.
make those donations and pledges.
Sounds good. Well, thank you once more again for this opportunity. And here in the studio with me is Grant Adams. And Grant is a recent convert to Catholicism at the most beautiful parish in the Archdiocese, St. Lawrence. So we are grateful once more for this opportunity to be able to have this conversation with Grant. I'm Father Henry Atem, and I'm the pastor of St. Lawrence here in the studio as we now round up this hour for the Quest for Holiness Pledge Drive. So before we took the break, Grant was telling us a little bit about his story. And Grant, I'm going to give you a chance to, why don't you conclude that story for us?
Sure.
With your ministry at the church you were talking about as well.
Yeah, we were coming to this, just this realization that it wasn't going to make sense for us to continue.
Who is we?
Myself and my wife, my sweet wife, Bridget.
Okay.
We had our daughter, Josephine, she'll be two in December. And just recognizing, like, we need to have consistency with our faith and raising our child to, you know Christ in the way that we know him, that we're convicted, and not have to clarify things when we go home after church or something. And so we were having these conversations, and my wife was like, well, look, we need to make a decision. And at this point, it was kind of like, it's either going to be Anglican or Catholic. And I'm like leaning towards Anglican, and really because it's, it would cost less to become Anglican.
Well, I'm curious about that. Why Anglican or Catholic? Like, what was it about those specific traditions?
Yeah, it is the liturgy. You find this commonality between Anglicanism and Catholicism. And my dear friend Colin, who's an Anglican priest, would disagree with me. But I like to say Anglicanism is like Diet Catholicism. It's similar flavor, but not quite the real thing.
Not quite the real stuff.
And that's, you know, absolutely a joke, but there's so much more depth to the differences there. But I knew, like, if we became Anglican, there would be part of me that's longing for this fullness, the fullness of communion with the church that Jesus established. But I was a coward.
Right.
and that was the problem. So I needed this kick in the pants, this grace. And we call that actual grace. Is that right?
Right.
There we go. And so this one Sunday while I was on staff as a pastor at the Fountain, it was June 19th of last year. It was a normal Sunday. Nothing out of the ordinary had happened. None of my family members were suffering, but I was just deeply sorrowful during this church service.
Wow.
And didn't have any reason why. I couldn't put a finger on it, and was just as Acts chapter 2 says, after St. Peter's first sermon, that the people were cut to the heart.
Right.
I was experiencing this cut to the heart. And driving home from church that day, I was just weeping in my car, and I had no idea why. Right. Like, why am I so sorrowful? And I get home, and I turn on some homily for that Sunday from a Catholic parish. And that Sunday, June 19th of 2022, was the Feast of Corpus Christi.
Corpus Christi.
The Sunday that the church is celebrating that our Lord Jesus Christ gives himself, body, blood, soul, and divinity to us in the Eucharist. And I didn't know that. I'm not a Catholic at this point. I'm still learning the feast days and our holy days of obligations and everything.
Absolutely.
But my soul knew that. It was longing for Christ in the Eucharist, and I needed to have Jesus. Throughout my entire life, my parents, my pastors, everyone had encouraged me to have a personal relationship with Jesus, and this was the personal relationship. How much more personal can it get than God himself giving himself to us in the Eucharist?
You know, and it's very interesting you bring that up because, you know, in conjunction to the quote you read from St. Ignatius of Antioch, you know, in which St. Ignatius admonishes the Christians in Smyrna about the fact that they do not believe in the Eucharist being the very flesh
that suffered
for us, right? So, and then you on June 19th it was of 2022?
Yeah, which also was this, I learned this later, it was the same day that the Eucharistic revival was beginning.
That started the Eucharistic revival across the whole nation.
So if you were praying for the Eucharistic revival, thank you, you cost me my job.
Okay, so I think that for those of you listening at this point, you must be very interested in listening to Grant's story, a very moving story of conversion, you know, going through the school of ministry in Atlanta, meeting his wife, Bridget, beautiful wife, and moving to Lawrenceville from Texas. And they're having this experience at this, at the fountain. And you say on this day, June 19th, you feel this sense of emptiness, this loneliness, and you go
and
home.
Really a longing. It's a longing,
right.
A longing for this Jesus that I've longed to know.
Right.
John 17:3 says, "This is eternal life, that you may know the only true God and Jesus Christ whom he has sent." This
Absolutely.
Is it. Like, this is eternal life, to know him. And I can know him. And in the state that I was in, I couldn't know him.
Right.
So I needed to come home to the Catholic Church so that I could receive Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior in the Eucharist.
Right. Wow. That is so powerful, Grant. And I'm really grateful for not only the opportunity to have been a part of your story, a mm-hmm. part of your journey, but all the many listeners that we have on the air today, to be able to also be a part of that story and to hear that beautiful and wonderful testimony. And I think that it is important for us to recognize that that is the purpose of a resource we have in the church like the Quest Atlanta. There's a need for us to continue to reach out, to continue to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ, to continue to just plant those seeds. I mean, you never know, someone driving in the car, someone could download the app, someone could go to the website, and they could be at a point in their lives when they are searching for something. They could be at a point in their lives when they are lost, when they feel lonely, when they feel disconnected from everything else.
Right.
And just because of the presence, the availability of getting connected to something like the Quest, listening to the message of the gospel, I think that could just plant a seed that eventually could lead that person to having such an intimate and a meaningful relationship with Christ. And I think as it did for you. So
yeah,
that is why we do this pledge drives. That is why we continue to partner with the Quest to ensure that they are able to stay on the air and they're able to continue in this great mission of evangelization and continuing to reach as many, many, many people in the Metro Atlanta area as possible. So once more, on behalf of Grant and myself, we are deeply grateful for all those who have been able to make a contribution to support us during this hour. At this point, we are at 68 monthly donors, so we are trying to get that number to 100. And I think we're a little slow because we have probably about 20 more minutes. Mm-hmm. So we are hoping that we could get a few more monthly donors to make to help us out to continue this work with the Quest. If you've already made a donation, you could actually call back and make another donation. It could be a smaller donation, but just we want you to be a monthly donor to partner with the Quest in this great work of evangelization. Again, we have a matching gift of $7,000. We need to do everything within our power to ensure that we close this hour at least having raised that $7,000.
And Father, my math was fuzzy before. It wasn't close to $3,000, more like close to $4,000.
Close to $4,000.
So there's over $3,000 left in matching money.
Okay,
so
say $3,000 left in matching money. Okay.
So let's keep it moving.
So let's keep it going. So again, the number is 470-508-1160. And you could also download the app on the Quest Atlanta app, or you could go to the website, thequestatlanta.com. And I'm sure some of you are already listening to us using one of those resources. This conversation I'm having with Grant today is going to be recorded, so you could go back sometime and listen to it, share it with your friends and your relatives. Grant has a very inspiring story, and it could also plant a seed in somebody else's life. We just never know how the Holy Spirit continues to use us to reach other people and to touch other hearts. So I'm going to give Grant the opportunity now to talk a little bit. You know, Grant, it seemed as if the Holy Eucharist was very central to your story, right? From the quote that we had there from St. Ignatius of Antioch on the Eucharist,
right?
And then the experience that you had on the Feast of Corpus Christi in 2022.
Yeah.
I'd just like you to share a little bit from that place where your faith seemed to be built around the Eucharist. Your conversion, in a sense, was built around the Holy Eucharist. What would you say the Eucharist has meant for you from that point and now as a full participating and faithful Catholic? What does the Eucharist mean for you now? And I think it's important, especially now, as you said, when we are celebrating, you know, the Eucharistic revival,
right,
which was called for by the bishop. So why don't you share that with us?
Yeah. It's everything.
Yes.
Because it's Jesus.
Absolutely.
It's our Lord. It's God himself.
Right.
Yeah. Actually, I'll turn it back to you. A quick question. Do you know how expensive my pants are?
Your pants?
Yeah, my pants. $450.
$450.
Do you know how much I paid for them?
No.
$6.25.
$6.25.
Because I found them at a thrift store. I found a great deal on these pants.
Interesting.
And here's the thing. I know this is like, where is he going with this?
All right.
Like, this is the treasure buried in the field. When the person found it, they ran and sold everything that they had so that they could buy this thing.
That treasure.
And because the treasure far exceeded the value of everything else that they had.
Right.
Like, I go to this thrift store, I see these pants, and like, it cost me barely anything. But multiply that by infinity, because this is the gospel. This is the good news.
Right.
And yeah, it costs us our whole lives, but it's everything. And this is Jesus Christ himself in the Eucharist. Like, what does it cost us to have him? Yeah, like, it may cost you some reputation. It may cost you some inconvenience in life. And in some cases, you may be martyred for it, like the saints have throughout history.
Right.
But it's a deal. Because
Absolutely.
It's God. Like, the value far exceeds anything that we could ever offer on behalf of the Eucharist, because it's God himself.
Right.
So the Eucharist, what does it mean? It's everything.
It's everything.
We have Jesus Christ next door. I didn't know that I'd be in the same room with God today, the same building with God. And I walked, you know, before our show today, I get to look over there and I see, you know, this little adoration chapel over there, and our Lord is just sitting there, and I get to have a moment and just say, I love you, Jesus. Like, we get to look at God himself every single time that we encounter the Eucharist.
Right.
And when we look at God, he's looking back at us and he gives us the grace to follow him.
Right. No, that is so beautiful. And, you know, it is sad. I think something which I think our world has lost is a sense of the transcendent, right? A mm-hmm. sense of reverence for that which is beyond us, that which is, you know. And as I was saying in my homily this past Sunday, drawing to the necessity of worship, right? You know, one of the things I was talking about was the fact that we become what we worship,
mm-hmm.
right? And and having God as the object of our worship, and that is what makes the Eucharist so beautiful,
yes.
so powerful,
yes.
but also so practical for life,
right?
That,
like our moms would say, you are what you eat.
Exactly, right?
And here we are. We get to become one with God. He divinizes us.
Exactly.
He elevates our humanity in that.
Absolutely. And not only do we consume him in the Eucharist, we adore him in the Eucharist, right? I mean, there's not a fuller way of us being in contact with God
mm-hmm.
in such a way that he continues to transform us. And I think at the heart of this Eucharistic revival that the bishops are calling for, right, is that they recognize some of the many challenges that we have in our society. And they see the need for us to use the Eucharist, you know, in a sense, as the answer, as a solution to some of the many, many challenges that we have in our society today,
right.
from materialism to the political polarization.
Even another rise in Gnosticism that says the body doesn't matter. Your body doesn't matter at all.
Matter.
You know, like you're a soul trapped in this machine. And the Eucharist is incarnational. Like, God knows that we're ensouled bodies.
Right.
And we need something tangible to touch, to taste, to feel.
Right.
And he gives himself to us this way.
Right.
We didn't know what God looked like before the incarnation of Christ. And now he continues to reveal himself to us every day through the Eucharist.
Absolutely. And what a beautiful testimony of faith. And I think that for those of us, especially for those of you who are Catholics who are listening, I think this is a call for you also to try to intensify in your own life your Eucharistic devotion.
Yeah.
To understand, as Grant said, I mean, there's not a better way of saying it than to say it is God himself. That is what we believe. That is how he gave that mystery to us. It is his body and his blood.
And if you're struggling with that reality, that's okay. Just go sit with him.
Right.
Even if you have a moment of time in adoration or even in mass when the host is elevated, and like, just say to yourself, like St. Thomas did when he touched our Lord after his resurrection, my Lord, my God,
have this
moment of recognition. Like, even if cognitively and you're like, it looks like bread, it tastes like, this is my God.
Right.
My Lord, my God.
All right. Grant, I'm going to ask you another question. I'm going to ask you a question. And the question I'm going to ask you is, I would like you to talk briefly about, now as a Catholic,
right,
how would you if you had to run into Protestants who had questions about the Eucharist, how would you talk to them about that? Okay. But before before you answer that question, I just want to once more thank our listeners and all those who have made donations. Listening in itself is a way of giving us something. You're giving us your time, and we certainly appreciate that. But also those who have made financial contributions, we are deeply grateful for supporting the quest in this great task and then this great work of spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. Again, this is the final hour for the Quest Fall Pledge Drive, Quest for Holiness. We have here about 10 minutes, we'll be wrapping things up, and we have $7,000 of matching money. So far, we have 69 monthly donors, so we are looking for 31 more.
If we can, I just want to jump in here and say that we've had like about another $1,500 come in since the last time. So we're sitting right at about $5,000.
About $5,000.
So we've got like $2,000
more.
Matching funds.
So we have 10 minutes to go. So please, if you want to help us out, close this hour in a very strong way, we'll be grateful. We'll not have a chance again to do another pledge drive until sometime in the future. So this is the final hour. Let us come together and try to make this happen.
And let me thank some people.
Okay, real quick. Go ahead.
This list is getting long, which I love. So Elise from Roswell in support of Father Henry. It's from Elise and Timmy.
Mm-hmm.
Winifred from Lawrenceville in honor of Father Henry. Catherine from Lawrenceville in honor of my dad, Harry. We love you, Father Henry. Catherine and Marie.
Okay.
Also, David and Molly in Sewanee in honor of Father Henry and Grant. Rosemary from Atlanta, thank you. And also Kathleen in Lawrenceville. Father Henry, thank you for everything you do. You are amazing.
Amen.
Yeah, so thank you.
Beautiful, wonderful people. Like I said, and I, you know, when I say St. Lawrence is the best parish, I think some people could think that I'm just bragging because I'm there. But I think St. Lawrence has truly... coming from St. George, I really love St. George, and the people of St. George were wonderful, but I think the folks at St. Lawrence have really embraced me. They've really offered me a home and a family and a loving community. So I'm deeply grateful to all of my parishioners at St. Lawrence, and I'm here with one of the wonderful ones.
Wow.
So that's right.
That's what my mom says. She says I'm beautiful.
You're beautiful. You have a beautiful soul. How about that?
Amen. Thank you.
Right.
Thank you.
So, but Grant, but before we went on that little break there, I just want you to talk a little bit about, again, having the, where you came from, you know, having come from that background, Protestant background, where the Eucharist was not, was a symbol.
Right.
Yeah. It wasn't, like you said, it was one of the, how did you call it? Inheritance? How did you call it?
Ordinance.
An ordinance. Yeah. So now you come into the Catholic Church where it is not only a sacrament, but as you yourself professed, it is God. And that's what we've believed for 2,000 years because of the words of Jesus Christ. So how do you, you know, when you talk to, say, Protestants who are struggling with this issue and they need clarification, how do you talk to them about that?
The Protestant framework for understanding truth, understanding doctrine and faith is sola scriptura, that the Bible alone is the sole infallible rule of faith and doctrine. And so it's incredibly important for Protestant brothers and sisters to be able to see, okay, where is this in the Bible? Where does the Bible say blank? Where does the Bible say that the Eucharist is the body and blood of Christ?
Right.
Okay. I can't think of a better place to go than Jesus himself in John chapter 6 in this bread of life discourse. Right. And this was one of those passages that, like, as a Protestant, I don't know how I misunderstood this, but here it is in John chapter 6, verse 53, that Jesus is talking to these followers, not just like the crowds who followed him, but also his disciples who were with him, who followed him everywhere, heard his teachings. Jesus said to them, "Truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you do not have life in yourselves. The one who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day, because my flesh is true food and my blood is true drink. The one who eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in them." And he has a bunch of disciples after this. And John, you follow, you go on and verse 66, he has several of his disciples who end up walking away from him because they said, this teaching is hard, who can understand it? And when he turns to his closest disciples, he looks at them and says, are you going to leave me as well? And we, even if this is a hard teaching for you, even if you're a cradle Catholic and you're struggling to believe the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist, we need to have the response of St. Peter, who said, when Jesus asked him, are you going to leave me as well? He said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Like, God, this is hard to believe. I don't understand it, but help me to believe. Your words are true. So if this, if you're saying this is you, this is really your flesh and blood, this is your body, this is your blood, then God, I'm going to believe it. Help me to believe. Right. I believe, help my unbelief.
Right. You know, and I think it's interesting that you quote John chapter 6, and I think John chapter 6 has been the theological framework within which we've always understood the teachings on the Holy Eucharist and the fact that that is truly the body and blood of Jesus Christ. But as we're coming up to the end of this hour, I just want us to kind of close the deal here with wrapping up on that whole issue of the Holy Eucharist, because again, the title for the pledge drive this time is The Quest for Holiness. And we know that as Catholics, our holiness is grounded in our worship of Jesus in the Holy Eucharist.
Amen.
Yeah. So going back to, you know, you just talked about John chapter 6 and talking about the words of Jesus saying that my flesh is true food and my blood is true drink. And unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you do
not have
life.
No life in you.
Absolutely. But I think that as a Protestant may have a hard time making the connection from, okay, those are the words of Jesus. How do those transpose themselves to become the words of the church? How does that become, you know, a part of our living tradition, right? How would you make that connection for a Protestant?
Yeah, the logic for me, like the logic train follows. Okay, Jesus says this, and I can read this as a, well, literal interpretation, and the folks who were listening to Jesus at this time surely had a literal interpretation of this, because they thought he was talking about eating his flesh and drinking his blood, and it offended his own disciples. And rather than clarifying and saying, guys, I'm just speaking symbolically here, he let them walk away and then turned to his own disciples and said, are you going to leave as well?
Right.
And he all, like, if there was ever this misunderstanding of him speaking literally or symbolically, Jesus cleared it up with his disciples.
Right.
He did it multiple times in the Gospels.
Right.
But on this occasion, he doesn't. And so the question to ask is like, okay, did the disciples understand it to be this way?
Right.
That the Eucharist actually becomes the body and blood of Christ. Like the bread after this consecration, it actually is God. It actually is Jesus. Did they understand it that way? And again, we go into the epistles. We see St. Paul talking about this, how when people eat and drink this unworthily, they're eating and drinking condemnation on themselves.
Right.
And you continue into the second century with a disciple of John the Beloved who wrote this very gospel that we read from, saying that you need to these Gnostic heretics abstain from the Eucharist because they don't believe that it's the body of Christ, that it's the flesh of Christ which suffered for us. And you see it with Saint Justin Martyr. You continue to see it throughout the early church fathers, and you're going to be hard pressed to find any source that says otherwise.
Right. No, thank you for that beautiful summary of it. And I think it all comes together for us during the Holy Mass with the words of consecration, which came from the Last Supper when Jesus said, take and eat, this is my body. Take and drink, this is my blood. Mm-hmm. And for 2,000 years, through the words of our ordained priest, Jesus has always made himself sacramentally present for us.
Yeah, and that was a realization I had too.
Right.
I don't have the authority to make bread and wine the body and blood of Christ.
That's right.
I don't have the ability to do that. That's supernatural.
Absolutely.
So only someone with the authority of Jesus can do something like that.
Amen. Amen. All right.
I want to just mention, we made it to 70. Okay, we have 70 monthly donors now.
That's awesome.
Which is good. I'm very pleased with that. And I want to thank everybody who did that.
Right.
I also want to thank Michelle from Grayson, and also Aaron from Marietta. Thank you very much for your generosity in helping out the Quest for Holiness pledge drive.
Oh, beautiful, beautiful.
Okay.
Okay.
Father, thank you, Grant, first of all, for being here. And Father, could I get you to leave us with a blessing?
Absolutely. We'll be doing a blessing. Before the final blessing, once more, thanks to all of our listeners, especially to all the donors for your generosity. Though we end the show at this time, Your generosity must not end today. You could continue to support the Quest in all of the good work they're doing. Again, we need to continue to evangelize our culture, and I think the Quest have embraced the responsibility of being in the forefront of this great task. So we ask you to please continue to make that support of the Quest in the in this great effort. So let us pray.
Do you want a microphone, Carol?
I do.
Okay, hold on. What do we got here?
All right.
Go ahead.
Help myself.
You don't need the headphones.
Yeah, you don't need. Yeah.
Yeah, this is Carol Tiersmith, and I am just calling, or I just want to speak to everybody and just to say thank you so much. This has been the most incredible 3 days that I can remember in the pledge drive. And just the energy in the studio, all the amazing stories, the people sharing what the Quest has meant to them. And so I just want to personally thank everyone who is listening, everyone who's been a part of this in any way for the last 5.5 years. This is only made possible by you, each of you, and we just thank you so much.
And, you know, Carol, we would like to thank you, I mean, for the vision, for the faith, for trusting in God, in taking on undertaking such a huge, you know, a huge project with pretty much very little direction and just trusting God. And I think that, you know, the seed of faith that you've planted in you know, with this with the radio station, I think will be so fruitful for many, many, many generations to come. So we thank you so much for your faith.
Okay. We can thank the Holy Spirit, as you know.
Amen. Absolutely.
Okay. All right. God bless you, Father Henry, for everything you do.
You're welcome
to the Catholic Church.
And hey, thank you.
Right after your blessing, Father, I just want to let people know we'll pray the Angelus.
Okay, sure. All right. We pray in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Mm-hmm. Oh, Heavenly Father, we are grateful for the many blessings you've given us. We thank you especially for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Eucharist, his flesh and his blood for the salvation of humanity. Mm. We thank you so much for not only giving us a chance to be able to participate of that great mystery, but also for the great responsibility of spreading that good news to others, inviting other people to come and to participate at the saving table of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank you now for the faith that we have shared, and especially for Grant and for his testimony. We thank you for Carol and for the faith that you place in her heart to be able to carry such a great endeavor by making this possible for us now to be able to continue to reach thousands of people here in the Metro Atlanta area. We ask you to continue to bless us and to bless us in our efforts, to bless us in our faith, and may you extend your hand of a blessing over all of your sons and daughters, so that in all things we'll continue to give you glory and praise. For indeed you are Lord forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
May Almighty God bless and protect you, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Thank you.